Father, what a beautiful picture of family, a portrait of brothers and sisters in Christ, gathering together in a time of fellowship on the Lord's Day, a day of worship, a day of praise, a day of thanksgiving, a day, Father, when we can celebrate in your grace and your mercy, a day when we can maybe let loose of a few more burdens and allow you to be the God who carries and the God who heals. And Father, there are some that we're aware of that are struggling with some illnesses this time of year. But Father, I pray that even they, in their time of illness, in their time of struggle, will find and enjoy and live out that precious peace that surpasses all understanding. Again, I praise you for the family of God. What a privilege it is to be called a son of God. And may we be very, very careful to remember the cost of that adoption made right by the blood of Jesus Christ, made possible. So, Father, as we look at this last aspect of the Advent season leading up to Christmas Eve, today I pray that we are able to understand in a deeper sense what your peace is and how we can all live in it. And we ask this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. We've had hope, love, joy, and now we're about to take a look at peace. And it all will come together Christmas Eve when we illuminate the Christ candle, the center of all of this, the source of all of these things. Because you see, these things, the hope, the love, the joy, the peace, are not just part of Christ. They are as to his essence. He is the fullness of hope. He is the fullness of love. He is the fullness of joy. He's the fullness of peace. In him and him alone is hope, love, joy, peace. So this Christmas, the question is, will you celebrate the presence or just the presence? Will you celebrate the P-R-E-S-E-N-S-C-E, see, I can't even spell, or the P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S? I pray, I hope that we celebrate in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's stand at the reading of God's Word. The text selection may be a bit unusual to you this morning, or some of you. We're actually going to look at where it all started, and then we're going to look at where it all comes to its final end as far as the life of Christ here on this earth. But they on both ends of this timetable, on both ends, is peace. And we'll talk more about that later. One of the announcements that the angels made in Luke chapter 2, as they were announcing the birth of the Savior to the shepherds in the field, they praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, think about the message of peace that the angel who announced the birth. Think about what was present. Fear. Fear. Joseph was afraid. Mary was afraid. The shepherds were afraid. Everybody's afraid. And yet, the Prince of Peace is at the core of the message. So they announce peace. Let's go to John 14. So we know that the Messiah came as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah so named him that. And in John 14, as Jesus is preparing for his departure from the disciples, we read these words. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandment and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Father, I pray that you would be honored by the reading of your word, the living word that you have given to us. And I pray, Father, that we will have these words embedded into our hearts so that we may know you more fully, serve you more faithfully, and submit to you more graciously. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. First, I would like to begin with a brief explanation or a definition of what peace is. Many of you probably are aware it's a very common word, often used, often heard. How many have heard the word shalom? All right. But a little bit more about this word, shalom. It's a precious word to the Jewish people. It means much more than just the absence of war or distress. Shalom means wholeness. It means completeness. It means health, security, even prosperity in the best sense. When you're enjoying God's peace, there's joy and there's contentment. But God's peace is not like the peace the world offers, just as our Savior said. The world bases its peace on its resources, while God's peace rests on our relationship. Relationship. To be right with God means to enjoy the peace of God. Now, this is an issue that some people struggle with because we tend to think more highly of ourselves than we should. But folks, apart from the blood of Christ, we are enemies of God. Enemies. We hate God. Be careful. We don't want his control. We don't want his sovereign rule in our life. We don't want to talk about things like obedience and submission. That's because the people who struggle with it are defining those things according to the world's definition. But from a spiritual aspect, therein lies our victory. Therein lies our peace, through submission to his authority, through recognition of his sovereignty, to humbly submit to his grace and his mercy. Therein lies the peace that surpasses all understanding. So it's not based on resources of the world. It's dependent on relationship, which God has initiated with us. The world depends on personal ability, but the Christian depends on the spiritual adequacy of Christ. Christians can have the peace of God. It's a wonderful gift, received by faith. Unsaved people enjoy peace when there's an absence of trouble. Think about that. That's not a whole lot of peace. If you only have it when there's an absence of trouble or conflict. Christians enjoy peace in spite of trials because of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. There it is again. If you walked through the text and read along with me or followed along, you would have noticed how much the Trinity is involved in this aspect, this thing called peace, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's go to point number one. The authority by which Jesus can offer his peace. Look, if you're going to give something, you got to have the authority, you should have the authority to do so. And you should also be absolutely certain that whatever you offer, you can supply. That's called a promise, so to speak. And too often, people offer things that they can't fulfill. Jesus will never do that, brothers and sisters. He will never do that. We'll never come up short with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? We'll never come up short. So the authority by which Jesus can offer his peace, we want to look at the context of his peace. And I want to acknowledge these sub-points I happen to draw from Dr. David Jeremiah. I thought they fit well within my sermon, and I want to thank him personally for providing these resources. He's going to learn to preach. Yeah, if he keeps after it, he's going to do good. The context of his peace. What we're going to do is just back up just a little bit in the text in John 14. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Then we join in the text that we read earlier. Jesus is making sure that we will never be abandoned. I will not leave you as orphans, he said. Brothers and sisters, he just promised his eternal presence in the life of everyone who confesses him as Lord and Savior. He just gave us that promise, that assurance. So the context of his offer, he's the Son of God. He needs no other authority. He is the Son of God. Listen, we don't think about this too often, but the baby in the cradle is the creator of the universe. That didn't change at his birth. He's still the same Lord. He's still the same Christ. He's still the same Savior. He's still the same creator. He's still the same sustainer of everything that exists. He is the one who provides the oxygen we breathe, whether you're saved or not. He is Lord of all. The baby in the cradle was there when the universe was spoken into existence. He is Lord of and over all. He is the Prince of Peace, according to Isaiah 6. Introduction to this, I want to spend just a moment talking about what it means to be Prince of Peace. Again, we may have a little bit of a misunderstanding in the context of Scripture. The Prince of Peace is called Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. Let's everybody say that. Sar Shalom. It means two words, Prince of Peace. Sar is the word for prince. When we think of a prince, we think of the son of a king. But that's really not what this word is designed to communicate. The word literally means sar, which is the head person, captain, governor, or prince. He's the man in charge. He's the go-to guy. Sar. The Romans had a similar word that sounded very much like Caesar. 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 And until the Bolshevik Revolution, the Russians adopted the same word for peace, and they called them the Tsar. Jesus is the Tsar Shalom. Peace in a rich and powerful concept. This idea of well-being, of happiness, of peace, of completeness, of wholeness. He's the captain. He's the one that has the authority to give it. And I want you to fully understand if we can today, because if we can embrace this, we will see the Messiah differently for the rest of our life. He offers peace because he is peace and he has the authority to do so. And whatever he puts in place, no one can take away. He is the Prince of Peace. It is his peace he gives. My peace, he said, I give to you. Whatever Jesus gives, he possesses within himself. You cannot separate peace or hope or joy or love from him. He draws from no other resources. He is sufficient within himself to meet all of our needs. Peace, my peace, your peace, he says. Point two, please. The assurance Jesus gives in offering his peace. The confidence of his peace. The confidence of his peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus is speaking. The Holy Spirit is promised. And the Father is going to make sure it gets done. And Jesus makes it clear that there's only one way to secure all that he offers. And again, in reference to John 14, we back up a little bit. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The assurance he offers will rest solely on what he is going to accomplish as in accordance with what the Father sent him to do. His atonement, his redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You cannot rest your eternal destiny. Excuse me, you can rest your eternal destiny on Christ and Christ alone. He has never failed. He will always be sufficient. He is our rock and anchor. He will walk with us through the valleys. He will carry us through the storms. He will still the wind and the waves, and we will arrive safely on the other shore. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has defeated both sin and death. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He holds the keys to both death and Hades. He is the brightest morning star. His name is above all other names, and he is Lord, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is our assurance. That is our assurance. Point number three. The advantage Jesus promises in receiving his peace. There's an advantage because, you see, the world will offer peace. It will offer peace. And it has ever since the beginning of time. There's been all kinds of treaties passed for peace, all right? But yet there is no peace. So let's contrast that a little bit. Just think about what we read in John 14, 27. My peace, he said, I give to you, not as the world gives. So we have the Savior, we have the Son of God, born in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, and he proclaimed himself to be the bread of life. He died outside the gates of Jerusalem, which means city of peace, Jerusalem. But let's think about that just for a moment. In Psalm 122, there is a prayer. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. A prayer for Jerusalem, the city of peace. Jerusalem has been destroyed, annihilated, leveled at least twice. It's been besieged 23 times, captured and recaptured 44 times, and attacked 52 additional times. And it's the city of peace? Jerusalem is built upon its own rubble. It literally is. If you go to the city of Jerusalem, the archaeologists got to go through all of these layers of destruction, because as the city was destroyed, as the walls were knocked down, they simply leveled it out and built new buildings on top of it. So the entire old city is built upon rubble, results of destruction. The city of peace. But yet someday, and soon, very soon, we pray, the Prince of Peace is going to put his foot down on the Mount of Olives, And I guarantee you there will be peace. And I like to say, you know, if peace is like a river, I want to live in the flood zone. The peace of Christ is just like the joy of Christ. It is not measured or altered by external circumstances. It is not the absence of conflict, trials, storms, and suffering. It's the eternal presence of Himself. Himself. One of the more common scriptures that I think is relevant, very key to this, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So there's the condition. Here's the result. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. But you see what all that's based on? Spending time with God. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, request, let it all be known to God. Folks, you're never going to have the fullness of the peace of Christ until you spend time with the Prince of Peace. You got to spend time with Him. You got to talk with Him. You got to talk, share with Him, share your heart, but you also got to listen. We got to listen. Because He's going to share His peace through our spirit. The Spirit will testify with our spirit and will communicate that peace to us. No Christmas present, no matter how beautifully it's wrapped, can give you that kind of peace. Only the presence can give you that peace. I would like to bring this up on a lighter note, but I think it's too serious. I heard the commander-in-chief of the greatest nation in the world tell the American public that you need to be ready for a winter of illness and death. How's that build you up? You ready to celebrate Christmas now? Folks, it's the antithesis of the Christian faith. It's the antithesis of the Christian faith. Nothing is going to take the peace away from a child of God. And this is not the winter of illness and death. It is the winter of celebration and joy and hope and confidence and assurance that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, over all. Go sit down, Prez. There's hope in this, brothers and sisters. There's hope. There's joy. There's rejoicing. There's celebration. We serve the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace, and no power on earth, heaven, or hell can take it away from us because He has given it of Himself. Pray for our leaders. And I confess that's becoming more and more difficult for this old preacher. But I must, because I'm commanded to do so. World conflict will increase as we draw near to the appearing of the Prince of Peace. Is your hope, I made a note here, I can't help but share it. Is your hope in the UN or JC? I like that one. I wish I had had time this morning. I would have had the boys in the booth put up a picture of a statue that's now sitting in the front visitors area of the United Nations in New York City. You know what? I'm going to have that next week. I think it's important that you see this. If you look at this thing, you are going to swear by the word of God, it is the beast out of Revelation. It's the beast out of Revelation, and it's a giant statue sitting in the front visitors arena area of the United Nations. Come, Lord Jesus. Isn't it exciting? Lastly, let's wrap this thing up. The provision Jesus made for the application of his peace. And this, if we don't remember anything else, for goodness sakes, let's get this part. The provision Jesus made for the application of his peace. This is the condition of his peace from John 14, once again. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Amen. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let's hear clearly now the details of that provision that we can be assured we will go to Jesus and be with him in glory. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before I read on, that clearly means prior to what Jesus Christ did and prior to us exerting or putting our faith into operation, we didn't have peace with God. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more will we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, do you see the very heart, the very core, the substance of that passage? We were enemies of God, but God took the initiative. We had nothing to contribute. We can contribute absolutely nothing. God took the initiative by sending his Son to break the barrier of sin between us. And even while we were enemies, Christ was reconciling us to the Father of glory. And now we can have access to the throne of grace because of his shed blood. God did it all. And he asked us to do what? Believe. Believe. Peace with God was not possible until the wall of separation was destroyed, called sin. We can have peace with God and the peace of God because we have been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace because he was the only one who could make peace between us and the Father. The doctrines of grace alone and faith alone are so critical. If you're here today and you're trying to get saved, if you're trying to stay saved or make your own peace with God through your own goodness, kindness, and service, you will never have peace because you can never be saved approaching that from your own works. If you're trying to be saved on your own merits, if you think, by golly, by gum, I'm just not that bad. I know some people that are, but I'm not one of them. Right? Well, I know somebody that did this. I'd never do that. Yeah, you're a sinner. Matter of fact, you're worse than the person that did that because you won't even admit you're a sinner, period. That's called sin spotters. They have very little introspection. I want you to know, if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess you're a sinner and proclaim that your only hope was the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're still an enemy of God, and you are not living in the reconciliation that Jesus has provided. Today, come and be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. Today, come and find peace with God through a relationship with the Prince of Peace. Today, come and be saved by the grace of God through faith alone. Come and be saved. And don't let the devil rob you of this moment. Do not let him rob you of another Christmas. Because if you're trying to get peace based on your own merits, you've already failed. You've already failed. And the rest of your life, not only are you resting on your own merits for salvation, you're resting on your own merits to keep it. And that will be a miserable, unpeaceful life. By faith alone, through Christ alone, in grace alone. Come meet the Prince of Peace this morning. There will be a couple of elders on the sides of the sanctuary. I will be here. Others will be available if you need to speak with someone. Come spend time at the altar, maybe just to rejoice that you're a child of God, living in the peace of God. You have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's not just a temporary gift, folks. Whatever the eternal Son of God gives is good for eternity. Okay? It's good for eternity because it'll last as long as he does. That's a long time, JD. That's a long time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that we've had. Thank you for the message of peace. Thank you for the person of peace. Thank you, O God, that you loved us. You loved us infinitely more than we'll ever understand this side of eternity. But we know that it's real. We know that it's true. Because for those who've expressed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have fellowship in that love now. We have the joy. We have the hope. We have the love. We have the peace that only Christ can bring. Thank you, Father, for being such a gracious, kind, and giving God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's please be standing. Please stand. And as we have our song of invitation, just simply ask the question, Holy Spirit, what do you want from me today? What am I to do for you today? In response to your voice, out of love and submission to you. What do you want?